Chapter 36. 2 days passed before Emily was summoned to face Professor Lombardi. 2 days that she spent fretting about failure and wondering what, if anything, she should have done differently. The promise of a basic alchemy exam coming up soon, and tests for martial magic, helped keep her awake at night, despite using sleeping spells in the hopes they would make her sleep. Talking to Alassa didn't help. When they compared notes, it was clear they had been given different exams. There was no way to tell if everyone had been given different questions, or if Emily had been given a harder test than the others. Being called to the charms classroom was almost a relief. Professor Lombardi nodded politely to her as she entered the room and closed the door behind her.
"Take a seat," he said kindly. "We're just waiting for Mistress Irene."
Emily blinked in surprise. She'd asked Aloha what had happened when she'd passed basic charms, and Aloha had told her that she'd only faced Professor Lombardi. Uncertain of what was going on, she took a seat and waited, trying to keep her heartbeat under control. Mistress Irene arrived 2 minutes later, carrying a parchment scroll and a strange dagger-like device that she passed to Professor Lombardi before taking a seat.
"You may have realized that you were given a harder practical test than the other students," Professor Lombardi said without preamble. "Your progress has been monitored, and it has become clear that you have a definite talent for charms. You passed the practical test with flying colors."
"Thank you," Emily said. "But why?"
"All students need to be poked and prodded to force them to develop their talents," Mistress Irene said seriously. "We pushed you harder in charms because it was clear that your talents lay in that direction. A normal first-year student would not be able to dismantle the curse surrounding Nod. It requires genuine talent to handle such a curse without killing either the victim or yourself."
Emily shivered, remembering the nightmares she'd had afterwards. She'd thought that practical jokes, even the idiot ball, were bad enough, but curses like that were terrifying. It was easy to see why the victim couldn't free himself, no matter how powerful he was. The curse just twisted and tore at his mind. Mistress Sun had pointed out that independent magicians often found themselves dismantling unpleasant curses. Emily had wondered if it was a future career for her, and then she'd wondered if she should be trying to avoid it.
"You did make some mistakes, but you passed the exam," Lombardi continued.
He took the parchment from Mistress Irene and opened it, holding it out to Emily.
"Congratulations."
Emily took the parchment and stared down at it numbly. It certified that she had passed basic charms and a level 3 practical exam. There was a glowing magic seal on the sheet of parchment that would be impossible to fake, no matter what anyone did. She touched it lightly with her finger and felt a shock as it shouted the identity of the examiner into her mind. "Thank you," she said after a long pause. She hesitated again, then asked the question that had been haunting her nightmares since the exam. Was not a real human under a curse? Lombardi looked at her in some surprise.
"Of course not," he said finally. "He's nothing more than a doll, gifted with an impression of humanity that allows him to carry a curse designed to latch onto a person's mind. If you had failed, the curses wouldn't have done any real damage to him."
But they would have done damage to me, Emily thought. There were too many horrific examples of what could go wrong while curse-breaking in her books. A single mistake could have destroyed her mind, her magic, or worst of all, transferred the curse to her. In hindsight, she couldn't believe that she'd tamely accepted the practical exam as basic charms. She should have known it wasn't intended to be so brutal.
"Your success leaves us with the question of what to do with you next," Lombardi continued after a long moment. "You will be attending advanced charms, of course, as you will need the groundwork to understand what you're doing, but you will also be tutored privately by Mistress Sun, who will be pushing you as fast as possible. We expect that you will be working at a fourth-year level by the end of second year."
Emily gulped. "You're moving me up a year now?" Mistress Irene chuckled rather dryly.
"I'm afraid we couldn't justify it unless you prove to be a prodigy in every class. Professor Thand informs me that you are still burning your cauldron every second lesson."
Emily nodded in embarrassment.
There were times when she thought that she would never get the hang of alchemy. It seemed to depend on her mastering of precision too much for anyone to master quickly. Her rational mind kept arguing that surely it didn't matter if a certain potion was stirred 10 times instead of 11, no matter what the instructions said. Thand had pointed out that she might master the basics, but it was unlikely that she would ever become a full-fledged alchemist.
"There are 2 weeks until the next advanced charms class opens," Lombardi said into the silence. "You will be provided with a reading list. I suggest that you spend the time reading as much as you can around the subject, because you will not be told everything in class. I will arrange the timetable for your private sessions as well."
"She has martial magic, too," Mistress Irene reminded him. "Make sure that you don't clash the two together." Emily nodded. She would have read everything she could anyway, but the reading list was a good place to start, even though the basic charms reading list had included several books that didn't seem to have much, if anything, to do with charms. Maybe they made sense later, or maybe Lombardi was testing them to see who would have the common sense to question the reading list before wasting their time reading the books.
"I'll see to it," Lombardi assured her.
He looked over at Emily.
"You seem to lead an exciting life. I'm afraid it may be about to become more exciting."
Emily snorted. She'd been kidnapped from her own universe and almost sacrificed by a necromancer, rescued and sent to a school for magic children, almost killed a princess, kidnapped by bandits and forced to escape, and then she'd been caught up in a prank war between school children armed with magic. How could her life become more exciting?
"Take the parchment and store it carefully," Mistress Irene said. "If it should happen to be lost, there's a fine of 10 gold coins for a replacement."
"Thank you," Emily said, as she pocketed the parchment. "Is there anything I should know about how well I performed in the exam?"
"You passed," Lombardi replied dryly.
Emily flushed bright red.
"Mistress Sun will go over what you did right and what you did wrong later. Until then, enjoy a few days without studying charms. Advanced charms will push you a great deal harder."
Emily stood up, then paused. "Can I ask a question?" She asked, then plunged ahead anyway. "Did Alassa pass?" The tutors exchanged glances. They told Emily that her grade would depend upon Alassa's grade, and even though they'd decided that she deserved to move ahead in classes, the original punishment might still hold. What would she do if Alassa failed again? Would she have to retake basic charms again and again?
"She passed," Lombardi said after a long beat. "We have asked her to visit the office after you so we can discuss her results and her entry into advanced charms. Your assistance might have made the difference between success and failure for her."
"Except that everyone is supposed to be able to pass basic charms on their first try," Emily thought sourly. If you couldn't progress without grasping the basics, it stood to reason that you would try to grasp them as quickly as possible. Alassa hadn't seemed to recognize that they were even there before Emily had walked her through them as carefully as possible. But then, Alassa had definitely had a very poor tutor before attending Whitehall.
"Do not speak to anyone as you leave the room," Mistress Irene added. "You can talk to your friends after they have all been told their results."
Emily nodded, thanked them again, and left the room. 3 other students, including Alassa, were outside, waiting impatiently to hear the results of their exam. Emily winked at Alassa before she left the room and headed up towards her bedroom, where she opened her chest, stowed away her parchment, and retrieved the list of supplies Sergeant Harkin had ordered her to prepare for the camping trip. It was surprisingly long, and, in truth, she wasn't sure how she could hope to carry all of them in a single rucksack. She looked into various spells that should have made it easier before the sergeant had informed the team that they weren't allowed to use magic to make their rucksacks weightless. They were intended to carry everything under their own power. The door opened, revealing Aloha.
"Hey," she said, "I wanted to show you this."
Aloha produced a wooden box and placed it on the bed, opening it up to reveal a makeshift keyboard attached to a metal wand. When she pressed one of the keys, a glowing letter appeared above the box, causing Emily to giggle out loud. It was a very primitive word processor, powered by magic. Maybe she couldn't remember, if she'd ever known, anything about producing a computer, but she had been able to give them the general idea behind word processors.
"Watch," Aloha said in some delight. She pushed several keys at once, writing out a whole word. See? It works! Emily felt an odd pang of something that she eventually recognized as homesickness. She had never really regretted leaving Earth for this magical world. Even though this world had poor plumbing, a decidedly sexist attitude, medieval systems of government, and a necromancer who wanted her dead because he'd bungled the spell that had summoned her in the first place. But now, looking at the weird word processor, she remembered the hours of fun she'd had on the computer back home. She'd had Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all the other internet games that simply couldn't exist in the magical world. Yet, she told herself firmly, there didn't seem to be any fundamental reason why high technology would not work in her new universe. The technology had simply never been developed. Given enough time, they would probably come up with computers that didn't need mana to function. Maybe sooner, if Emily could give them enough pointers to start them down the right track. If she'd written down everything she could remember about the concept of printing presses, but she hadn't heard back from Ameka's father regarding them. The craftsman he'd hired might not be able to duplicate the printing press from Emily's instructions. So it does, Emily said, finally. She reached over and pushed a key, watching the letter flare into existence in front of her. How do you transfer what you've written to parchment? It gets burned into the parchment when you're ready to copy it, Aloha explained. My friend, the one who made it work, says he doesn't know how useful it will be in the long run. What use is a newborn baby? Emily asked seriously. The first computers in her world had seemed useless, right up to the point where brilliant scientists had predicted, in all honesty, that the world would never need more than a handful of computers. But when she'd been taken, there had been more computers in the world than people. This is just the start of something brilliant. She looked down at the machine and wondered inwardly where this innovation would lead. Everyone knew that necromancers went insane because they tried to channel vast amounts of magic through their brains. Even if they didn't kill themselves outright, their minds were warped, and they had no way of knowing just how badly they'd been damaged before it was too late. But what if someone could eventually channel such vast streams of power through a magical computer? Computers had made so many things easier back home. Here, those things might eventually include mass murder and genocide. Alas's parents had worried about the impact of something as tiny as Arabic numbers on their kingdom. God alone knew what they would think of a magical computer, or the printing press, or... I'll take your word for it, Aloha said, breaking into Emily's train of thought. He actually wants to talk to you and see what else you can suggest for his device. The idea of producing a counting spell for the device... Something clicked in Emily's mind. She'd heard of abacuses, even seen one, but it hadn't occurred to her that they might be missing from her new world. The concept was so simple that it was hard to understand how it had been missed, if it had been missed. She scribbled down a reminder to herself. She would have to ask Emeka before spending hours reinventing the wheel, and then looked down at the makeshift computer. The designer was already thinking about magical calculators. Where else would his mind take him? She shook her head. What use was a newborn baby, indeed? Later, Emily said, feeling unsure of what to do. I have to sort out the gear for our camping trip. You're going before us, Aloha said. She grinned mischievously. Be sure and tell me all about it, all right? Emily snorted as she skimmed down the list of supplies. I thought we weren't allowed to share notes, she said as she stood up. Or do you want to spend the next few hours doing push-ups while the sergeant questions your ancestry? I want to succeed, Aloha said. She stood up and headed over to her cabinet. I'll come with you. We may as well get our supplies together. The commissary was situated on the ground floor, open only to students who were studying martial magic. They had been warned in no uncertain terms that students who were not part of the class were forbidden to enter, whatever the excuse. It was easy to see why as soon as Emily stepped inside. There were mountains of supplies, weapons and tools, all seemingly unguarded. Emily suspected the vast chamber was actually protected by wards that only allowed them to pass because they were both in martial magic. It was hard to be sure. Whitehall's strange interior made it difficult to sense additional magic near the commissary. Make sure you account for everything you take, Aloha reminded her. The sergeant had told them that, too, when he'd been lecturing them on logistics. Everything had to be accounted for, even if it was just the simplest little thing. And don't forget your special supplies. Emily flushed as she started working through the list. The first section covered clothing suitable for a field trip, including a heavy quilted leather shirt and thick trousers. This world had clearly never heard of shorts or miniskirts. The thought made her smile. She wouldn't want to wear anything of the sort on a field trip with 5 teenage boys and a pair of male sergeants. The next section covered camping supplies and weapons. She was expected to carry a knife, a dagger, a short sword, a bow and 10 arrows, a set of tools. The list seemed endless. Emily looked down at the pile of supplies and blanched. How could anyone carry so much without help? The sergeants had told her that infantrymen regularly carried their own weight in supplies, but Emily found it hard to believe. How could anyone be that strong? At least you know how to use the sword, Aloha said lightly. The bow and arrows might be more dangerous to the red shirts than anyone else. Emily flushed. For a class that claimed to be about martial magic, they spent a surprising amount of time practicing with conventional weapons. Basic swordplay had been tricky, to say the least. There had been so much to unlearn before she could start using a sword properly. She'd expected archery to be easier, but it had been even harder. A single slip while drawing back the string and the arrow would go flying off in the wrong direction. The sergeants had pointed out that advancing armies had been slaughtered by archers, describing battles that reminded Emily of the Battle of Agincourt. It wasn't a reassuring thought. The final section of the list included a tent, a set of blankets, and several potions that Emily didn't recognize. One glance at the tent told her that it was large enough to take all 8 of them comfortably. There seemed to be no such thing as a private tent, nor would there be on campaign, she realized. All the books she'd read about female warriors had glossed over that part. Shuddering at the thought, she piled up the tent and the rest of the supplies, then stared at them in disbelief. She thought it was bad, but now? How could she hope to carry even half of the supplies? Maybe it's a test of some kind, Aloha said. How would you do it if you had a choice? A camper van? Emily thought. Useless, of course. There were no vehicles here. Maybe they'd be allowed to take horses. No, the sergeant had specifically stated that they would be walking. They had to carry everything with them at all times. I'm an idiot, she said out loud. The answer had been right in front of her face, and she hadn't seen it. It's definitely another test. She laughed at herself in some irritation. We don't need 6 tents, do we? And that's what we'll get if we all do this separately.